Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Welcome to the OFR Farm Report podcast, where we talk about the Atlanta Braves minor league system. I'm Andy Harris, and with me is my co-host, Matt Kritzberg from OutfieldFlyRule.com. Matt, why are we making this podcast?
Well, Andy, every Sunday we publish a minor league report on OutfieldFlyRule.com, but there's always items we'd like to expand upon that don't necessarily lend themselves to the written word, and this is just another way to get our information out to the fans.
Before we get into minor league stuff, though, there was this big piece of major league news. I just want to touch on it briefly. Ozzie Albies received an extension from the Atlanta Braves. I don't want to go into the particulars or anything because everybody else is talking about it. Mostly, though, I just wanted to say how happy I am. Ozzie Albies was one of the first prospects I really started to follow as this rebuild began. When he showed up in Rome, he was very exciting off the bat. And he, from the very start, he was only 18 years old, but you could tell he was extremely smart, extremely talented, really good with fans. And I just want to say how happy I am that my favorite Brave will be with the club for the next at least 7 years. I will say also, just thinking back on watching Albies, I had the opportunity to see Mississippi play against Montgomery in 2016. The Rays shortstop, Willie Adames, and Ozzie Albies were both in that game, and they put on a shortstop clinic that was one of the most fun minor league games I've ever seen. So it's good memories, and I'm really happy Ozzie Albies in the fold for a long time.
And just over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the extensions to Albies and Ronald Acuna. And where do they come from? They came from the Braves farm system. And that's why we're here. That's about proof positive the system works.
That's right. That wasn't the only reason why this was a good week, though, Matt. It's always a good week when you're able to go out and actually watch some baseball. And you and I had the opportunity to do that this week. You went to the Mississippi home opener, and I went to the Rome home opener. So, Matt, tell me what that Mississippi home opener was like.
Well, Mississippi home opener, and there was a pretty decent crowd, even though it was a weekday night. It was on a Wednesday, but the atmosphere was definitely electric for the people who were there because, unlike in years past, there were a number of position player prospects. In past years, you may have only had one or two. Like, for example, last season, Austin Riley was the primo prospect at Mississippi. Alex Jackson was there, of course, but in fact, it looked a whole lot like the Gwinnett roster does now. But this time around, where you've got Drew Waters, Christian Pache, C.J. Alexander, and others of the popularity of Ray Patrick Ditter out there among the position players, there's definitely a step up from the roster that we saw last season. And of course, the starting rotation, Ian Anderson, Kyle Muller, Tucker Davidson, Joey Wentz, Patrick Weigel. I mean, that five can stand up against anybody in minor league baseball. And even though there was a postponement because of weather a couple of days before in Tennessee on the last leg of their road trip, originally it was going to be Ian Anderson that I was seeing, which I was looking forward to. But since that didn't happen, we got to see the number five starter instead, which was Tucker Davidson. Number five starter for the Mississippi Braves and number five starter for other minor league teams is not in the same ballpark. Tucker Davidson is a solid, legitimate prospect. In the case of Davidson, I mean, he had a pretty solid start. I mean, he was on a pitch count. He did pitch four innings. He ran out of the pitch count at that time, but it was a very strange outing, especially in the first inning. He struck out the first two batters he faced, both looking, and they were both Angel solid prospects. And then the next three batters, he walked the bases full. Then he turns around and strikes out the next batter looking. So he faced six batters, walked three of them, struck out three of them looking, and nobody even made contact with the baseball that inning, which was a very strange first inning. But then he settled down somewhat after that, pitched three more innings, and like I said, he ran out of pitch count. But he allowed he got six ground ball outs, got another strikeout looking, and got only just allowed two fly balls to the outfield, and neither was in danger of falling in for a hit.
Yeah, Davidson's stuff can be electric when he's on. had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit once in Rome. Very earnest young man, was very appreciative of fans. I enjoyed talking to him. The Rome home opener sounds a little bit similar. It was also a weekday. It was Thursday night. I'd say capacity was about half the stadium, but it was a very attentive crowd. It turned out to be a pitching duel. It was 1-1 going through regulation, so we had to go to extra innings. Yasiel De La Cruz and Tanner Lawson pitched extremely well for Rome Braves. Our Braves only ended up with 5 hits on the night. In the 10th inning, things got a little squirrely. Jake Higginbotham came on in relief. And he pitched very well, but the defense behind him really started struggling. So 2 runs came across. They were both on unearned runs. And so it looked bad for the hometown team. But fortunately, they were able to come through in the bottom of the 10th. I'm going to throw my wife under the bus here a little bit. The Braves had gotten 2 runners on and 1 runner in. So we were down 3-2. And Darling Florentino came up to bat. Now, this is the second game we'd seen of Rome. And in that whole time, I don't believe we had actually seen Florentino make contact with the ball, despite swinging at literally everything. To say that we were confident that Florentino would be able to come through in that point would be a lie. So, at that point, my wife turns to me and says, "Why don't we pinch hit? Because Florentino can't hit anything." And at that exact point, on the first pitch, Florentino makes contact and makes contact hard. It's one of those you hear people talk about, wow, that ball sounds different coming off his bat. That's what that sounded like. He barreled it. He barreled it into the gap. Both runs score. Braves win. There's a mob scene on the field, and the crowd leaves happy. But that was a very clear indication of what the Braves see in 17-year-old Darling Florentino, that he does have tremendous potential raw power. And if he could ever find the handle on that on the bat more consistently, it could be a lot of fun to watch.
And obviously, be very patient with him, being that it's a 17-year-old in full season ball. Now, I think the only way they send him down to a lower level would be as if he looked like he was just completely out of his element. But as long as he can produce results like that on a more regular basis, then he should be there to stay.
Sure. I will be perfectly honest. I thought he looked out of his element for most of the time that I saw him, but that opened the eyes. You know, it's like, well, that's what the Braves are seeing. And it was fun. It was a fun game. All right, let's talk about what's going on down on the farm. After tonight's win against the Greenville Drive, the Rome Braves are now 4-6. Now, that record doesn't sound so great, but they've been playing a little bit better than maybe the record indicates. They've been getting some bad luck as far as sequences of pitches. Greg Cullen, the second baseman and number 3 hitter in the lineup, has seen some terrible luck on balls in play as well. The offense has been led by center fielder and leadoff hitter Justin Dean. Dean is now riding an 11-game hitting streak going back to last season. He has hit in every single game that Rome has played so far this season. And he is currently hitting .325 with a .925 OPS. Also on a hot streak is Trey Harris, who went 3-for-5 today. Trey, of course, is my cousin because all Harrises are cousins. He's hitting .405 and OPS of 1.126. Harris sits firmly in the middle of that lineup and has been doing a tremendous job. Griffin Benson has struggled a little bit on the outset, but he's found his power stroke at least. He's hit 3 home runs so far this season, including 1 on Friday and 1 on Saturday in back-to-back games. Moving on to the Florida Fire Frogs. The Fire Frogs are 5-6 after falling to Port St. Lucie today. The Fire Frogs are mostly led offensively by William Contreras and Riley Delgado, which are pretty much the usual suspects. They both were tremendous hitters for Rome last year. Also, newcomer Riley Unruh, who was a minor league Rule 5 draft, has done a really nice job for them playing multiple positions and hitting the ball well. Unruh was actually a draft pick by the Rays way back in 2013, but was literally the youngest person drafted then. So he's actually still pretty young. And a little bit of prospect, this was actually the second year in a row that he was taken in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft. Unruh's performance has been particularly useful in that shortstop A.J. Graffanino has been hurt for the most part this season. He has been activated, but at least so far has not gotten back into the lineup. Pitching has been led by starter Hayden Deal, who is the reigning Rome Pitcher of the Year for the organization. Deal and Huiscar Ulloa together have only allowed 2 earned runs in 18 and a third innings, and they've struck out 19. The rest of the rotation has been off and on. Tristan Beck has looked great most of the time, but so far in both of his starts have run into one kind of nightmare inning, which has kind of ballooned his ERA. Freddie Tarnock, one of my favorites in the organization, he was roughed up a little bit in his first outing, came back in his second outing with 5 shutout innings. So the rotation has ups and downs, but mostly ups. The bullpen has been suspect, but you know there's been some bright spots there as well. This is the best start that the Fire Frogs have had in the 3 years that they have been a Braves affiliate, despite only having a 5-6 record. Matt, any thoughts on the Rome Braves or Fire Frogs?
No, just like what I'm seeing so far. I mean, we're seeing some good work on the offense and from the pitching side from both teams. I mean, we're not seeing anybody that's off to such a dreadful start that you're wondering why they're even at that level. I mean, you're seeing some slow starts from, I mean, Tristan Beck's had a little bit of a bump in the road at Florida, but I mean, it's only his first 2 starts. He's still on the pitch count. There's plenty of time for him to develop from there. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of William Contreras so far, and promotion watch is on for him. I mean, how long will he be at Florida? I know catchers and the Braves would like to move very slowly on that, so it might be later this year before he moves up. But the better he does at that level, the more pressure it's going to be to get him moving on along.
All right, so what's going on in Mississippi?
And Mississippi, there wasn't a whole lot to speak of this week because they had some issues with off days and rain. Back as far as last Sunday, they played in Tennessee. Dennis played the Tennessee Smokies, finished that one off, then had a postponement the next day due to rain, which was due to be the last game of the series. Then they had an off day after that. So they had 2 days off, 2 consecutive days off in early April, which is always fun. And then they had the home opener on Wednesday, played again on Thursday, then had rainouts on Friday and Saturday before having a doubleheader on Sunday. Now, on those 3 games that they did manage to play for the week, they only had a 1-2 record, but there were a lot of interesting things that happened. Their first game of the week was a Patrick Weigel start, and everybody had eyes on Patrick Weigel because it was his first start above Gulf Coast League ball in 2 years. Now, he only lasted 2/3 of an inning, but partially planned, partially had some issues with control and the umpiring. Now, he was on a strict pitch count of around 30 pitches. Now, he only threw 12 strikes in 28 pitches, and he walked the bases full in the first inning, but ended up not allowing any runs. But the most important thing is that he came out of it healthy and ready to go on for his next start. But it's apparent that the Atlanta brass is going to bring Weigel along very slowly this season, ramp him up. I mean, he's not going to be in Atlanta anytime soon starting. He's going to be here for a while and just building up gradually.
Did you see his line from the day?
I did. I believe he pitched. I know it was another scoreless outing, but it definitely went better. I think he went 2 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, I believe, something like that.
Right. And again, right under 40 pitches again. So that seems to be exactly what they're looking at there.
So it looks like they're going to bump up maybe 10 pitches per start. So it's going to be a while before he gets up to full speed. But anytime he comes out of a start healthy, that's just another promising sign for Weigel. Ian Anderson also had a start this week, but once again, he was on a pitch limit. It was a rather uneventful outing. He only managed to go 4 1/3 innings on his pitch limit, and he gave up 2 runs. Nothing special, but nothing awful either. He is just getting his work in, getting him ready to his next start. As we're seeing, about 75 is around their pitch limits so far, and maybe they'll look to bump him up going on to his next start. In the hitting department, you've seen talking about there's the prospects everywhere. Drew Waters is showing that that Mississippi is not going to be a severe challenge to him. He went 4 for 13, had a couple of walks, struck out only twice in those 13 at-bats, so he's not looking terrible at it, and he just barely missed a home run at that home opener when he hit it all the way to the fence, and he's seeing why Trustmark Park is where home runs go to die. Christian Pache has been very impressive. He went 4 for 10 for the week, had a double, triple, and 6 RBIs, and already putting him among the Southern League leaders. Ray Patrick Ditter, he had a tough week from the batting line side. He only just went 1 for 10 with 6 strikeouts. But he's doing Ray Patrick Ditter things. He's finding ways to get on base. He walked 3 times. He was hit by a pitch on another occasion and stole a base. And he was also caught stealing a base, but it was a terrible call by the umpire, so it should have been 2. But that's the key for Ditter, is if he can't get on base via hit, he needs to find ways to get on by either walk or getting hit by pitches, which in his case is very frequently. And if once he gets on base, he can make things happen with his speed.
I see Jonathan Morales is also off to a hot start. He's hitting .333 now. Played a little first base today, too.
Yeah, he's walked a little bit, and of course, the one thing you got to watch for him is that he's got to keep the ball off the ground. And even during that home opener, he had a couple of ground outs, the shortstop and second base. If he can avoid doing that, start elevating the ball a little bit, that's where he's going to be able to make some hay in the future. But he's starting to show a little bit of progress here. And imagine he's going to get a pretty decent, fair shared playing time with Carlos Martinez being the backup. But, of course, they're only really just holding the slot open until William Contreras comes up at some point during the season. Now we will move on to the Gwinnett Stripers. Gwinnett came off a 3-3 week, but the big story there is they had a lot of big league pitchers going for them this week, either ones that had been recently sent from Atlanta or ones that are on rehab working their way back to Atlanta. Tuki Toussaint had a start last weekend where he only went 3 innings in the start. And he only gave up 1 run, but he did walk 4, and he just threw about 60 pitches. Now, obviously, he was due to start again on Saturday, but he got the call to replace Kyle Wright. And Kyle Wright will be coming down to Gwinnett, and he'll be making a start this week. And with Tukey's relief outing, where he went over 6 innings in very effective fashion, earned his way into the starting rotation to get a shot later on this week. And among other starters, Colby Allard took off where he left off in 2018, which he did very well in AAA last year. He had some troubles when he came up to Atlanta, but he did very well at Gwinnett. And he tossed 5 2/3 innings, only allowed 1 unearned run. He struck out 4 and didn't walk anybody, so he was already off to a good start. Mike Fultonevich had a rehab start where he just went 3 2/3 innings. He's trying to build his way up to come back to Atlanta, and most likely will end up in Atlanta this week. But even during his start, he only threw around 60 pitches, but it was interrupted by rain. Had a rain delay. He went and threw in the bullpen during the rain delay, came back out and finished off his outing without any kind of health issue. So it looks like he'll be back in Atlanta in the very near future.
I know on the broadcast, they specifically said that they were counting all of the throws that he was doing in the bullpen against his pitch count.
Right. And I believe they end up being somewhere around 90. So he's all basically back to full speed. And I believe he's making one more rehab start on Monday, and then they'll decide what's going to happen from there. In addition, Bryce Wilson made his first Gwinnett start after being optioned out from Atlanta. He had a rough start. He gave up 6 runs in 6 innings, allowed a couple of home runs. I mean, it wasn't the easiest outing for him, but he got through those 6 innings, and hopefully it's something he can build on for the future. Mike Soroka made a start on Thursday on his road back. He still got a little bit of a limit, about 70 pitches on this occasion. It definitely was not as good a start as his previous one, where he basically dominated for 5-plus innings. This time he only went five innings, but only the first three innings were really solid. But he appeared to tire out in the fourth and fifth innings, starting allowing hits and even allowed a home run, which for Mike Soroka is definitely an oddity. On the relief side, Shane Carl, who had been sent down from Atlanta due to ineffectiveness, he pitched on a couple occasions. He had two different scoreless two-inning outings on the week, and he only walked one total batter during those four innings. So that's already some progress based off of what we saw in Atlanta. Grant Dayton, he pitched a perfect inning on Monday, and he struck out two in that one inning, and he was put on the seven-day injured list right after that. And that's probably something you're going to see in and out of the year for him, that he's going to be on and off the list, just trying to kind of build him back up to possibly make it to Atlanta at some point this season. Dan Winkler had a couple of games where he appeared in. He had scoreless, hitless outings, but prior to getting promoted today to Atlanta, he had a fairly eventful outing on Friday night where he walked the bases full before escaping with a scoreless inning. It may not have been so much the result, but the team may have seen something in that outing that showed that he was ready to come back to the show. Jacob Webb had a really good week as well. He had three different outings for the week. He only allowed one run in one outing and had two other scoreless outings and earned a save as well. And apparently the Braves saw enough there too as well to get him promoted back up to Atlanta for the first time. He was already on the 40-man roster, so that made the decision fairly easy for him. But the fact that he was promoted over Shane Carl, who was very effective this week, shows that they were wanting to get Jacob Webb some time in Atlanta to get his feet wet. Now, Jacob Webb will probably not be getting high leverage outings right off the bat. They'll probably send him in maybe a six inning man, but that's also going to push some of the other relievers in Atlanta into more high leverage situations like Wes Parsons, who's impressed in his early outings in Atlanta.
Hopefully Webb won't experience what Parsons did last year, where he came up three times and only pitched once.
And the way they're going through this bullpen this season, I do not think lack of use will be an issue unless your name is Josh Tomlin. Now, on the position player side of the ball, of course, there's not a lot of legitimate prospects there, but one that definitely we have to keep our eye on is Austin Riley, see how he's doing. He did not have a great week. He just went 3 out of 24 on the week, had one RBI, no extra base hits, and struck out 8 times and only walked twice during that process. It was not a great week for him. But he had stretches like this at Gwinnett last year where he'd go a couple weeks, not do much of anything, and then just go on a tear. He'd hit three home runs in a game or have several games in a week where he'd hit a home run. So nothing terribly negative to read into that yet.
Yeah, I saw him a couple times this week. He does look like he is basically swinging at everything and really pulling off the ball. So, but like you said, he goes through stretches like this. Hopefully he comes out soon. I see he got a hit today and only struck out one time. That's good.
Now, another player to keep our eye on is that it was kind of controversial choice that he was on the team in the first place, but Adam Duvall, he was sent down towards the end of spring training after the Braves decided to take it, fully guarantee his salary for the season. Now, he's been working in Gwinnett, and he's working during spring training also to cut down on his strikeouts because he's been a 30% strikeout rate player for the last couple of seasons, albeit with a lot of power, and he'd been working with Kevin Seitzer and the Braves staff during spring training to try to cut back on those strikeouts, and it was working. He's been cutting back on those strikeouts. However, it's been cutting back on his power as well, and they're trying to figure out a way to get the power back without sacrificing the progress he's made on the strikeouts. Now, for the week, he had just 3 strikeouts and 25 plate appearances. I mean, that's a 12% rate, which is roughly a third of what you've been seeing for the last couple of seasons. Unfortunately, he's had no home runs, but he's been walking some. He's been getting other base hits and other extra base hits. He hit 400 for the week with a 520 on base percentage. So there's definitely some gains to be had there. Now, one surprise that we've seen so far out of Gwinnett is their leadoff hitter, Rafael Ortega, a veteran. He had played with the Marlins a little bit last season. He's already hit 5 home runs for the season after only hitting 1 for the Marlins last year. So good early start. I mean, it's nothing to expect that we're ever going to see him in Atlanta except in case of emergency, if somebody gets seriously injured in the center field area, like either Ender or Ronald Acuna. But it's always good to have some depth down at AAA.
Don't you put that evil on us. Yeah, shout out to Andres Blanco as well. He actually was the OFR minor league player of the week. He's currently hitting .333. He hit his 3rd home run today. Veterans getting it done.
And that's why I keep them down at the farm because there's always an opportunity out there. I mean, you saw it for last year from Michael Reed. Started off as a minor league free agent veteran signing at Mississippi, worked all his way up to the major leagues, and got some time in Atlanta last year.
One guy that's been impressing me in Gwinnett, though, has been Travis DeMeritt. I know you talked about him some, but came up with a big clutch hit the other day and hitting 345, but more importantly than the batting average or anything else, his strikeouts look to be under control, at least a lot better than he looked in the previous 2 years at Mississippi.
If DeMeritt could just hold down on the strikeouts and keep his batting average even in just the 250 range, he can be in Atlanta without any problem before too long because he is extremely versatile. He can play second base, third base. I believe this year he's been playing left field and right field for Gwinnett. He walks a lot, so even if he can't hit for average, he can add almost 100 points to his batting average to get him in about the 330 to 350 range on the on-base percentage. And without those strikeouts, if he can generate some power, and that's why I've been interested to see if he can play a majority in his games in a park that is able to where he can hit some home runs to see what he can do. So if he can get up to 20 home runs this season, we'll see if maybe that gets an opportunity, whether it be in Atlanta or elsewhere.
Well, if he does get promoted, he'll get featured in our Moving On Up section.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on up to the east side, moving on up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up.
So you mentioned Jacob Webb finally getting his opportunity. What can you tell us about Jacob Webb?
Jacob Webb's got a lot of closing experience. I saw him some in Mississippi. He's been working his way up over the last few seasons, and he's got a lot of closing experience throughout the minor league system, and he was kind of the de facto closer for Gwinnett last year. He probably won't serve that function in Atlanta. I imagine he's going to have a fairly short stay because when Mike Fultonavich gets promoted sometime probably later this week, I imagine he might be working his way back down again. And let's see, to show something very quickly. He's probably just going to get, like I said, get some middle relief type situations and head on back down from there. But if we can get an appearance or two out of him in Atlanta just to get his feet wet, that's all good for him for the future.
And another promotion, Dilmer Mejia, who we mentioned last week as someone we were somewhat surprised was left in extended spring training. He got moved up very temporarily to the Fire Frogs, but now is back with Rome. So he joins the Rome roster. We'll have to see if he is added to the rotation or is yet another maybe piggyback guy like Tanner Lawson and Jose Mantilla has been for Rome so far. Mejia, of course, is the reigning Appalachian League Pitcher of the Year. Good lefty, low 90s fastball, and a surprisingly good change up for that level. So I expect him to do well. Speaking of extended spring training, I've had a couple people ask me just on the street, walking around now, ask me online exactly what happens in extended spring training, what extended spring training is. Extended spring training is basically the same thing as the Gulf Coast League, the short season league that starts in late June. The big difference is they just don't keep score, but it's still games against the extended spring training teams of other teams going around, just like in spring training, going to those complexes in Florida and Arizona. So they play games, but it's a very instructional based. When you see transactions where so-and-so is sent to Danville, nobody is actually going to Danville, Virginia right now. At least nobody on the Braves. They're actually going down to the spring training complex in Northport. So that's what extended spring training is. Well, we're coming up on 30 minutes. We always said this is how we want to keep these. Matt.
And Matt, where can they find you?
They can find me at Braves Matt C on Twitter. And we also have an Outfield Fly Rule group on Facebook that is a fairly well-civilized group. And come on there and we'll discuss some baseball.
And you can reach me at K26DP on Twitter. It's K26DP, like strike them out, throw them out. And make sure you check out outfieldflyrule.com. Our new Sunday farm report is out there. It's basically the written word version of this, though we talk about some different stuff. We have a full-blown transaction analysis there. And also this week we did a prospect spotlight on Rome right-hander Victor Vodnik, the only teenage pitcher in full season ball right now for the Braves. This has been the OFR Farm Report. Thank you for tuning in.
See you next week.
Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien.